The book of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10 informs us that there are two kinds of people that exist. And it also tells us how those two kinds of people are revealed. Of course, that's going to include all of us. We're going to be proven to be one or the other of these two kinds of people. 1 John 3 verse 10 says, "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." So there is a way that God is going to apply a test to each one of us that will reveal whether we're his child or whether we're a child of the devil. And there's no third ground or no third way, no other alternative or possibility than either to be a child of God or a child of the devil. We're going to have one or the other as our spiritual father. So we need to look at that and consider the tests of our own works as to whether we're going to be revealed to be God's child or the child of the devil. In the Gospel of John in chapter 3, verses 19 to 21, he's going to refer to these same two groups of people and how they will respond to the light of God's Word that has been given through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And how we respond to that light is going to also be part of what's going to reveal us to be God's child or not. That's going to go together very well with what we just read in 1 John 3:10. Because if we're not wanting to do what is right, if we're not going to love our brother, if we're not going to do those things that God has taught us to do, then we're not going to want to come to that light and learn of his ways and also to test our works before him. John chapter 3, 19 to 21 says, "This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God." So that should be our desire. If we're a child of God, we're going to want to do right, and we're going to want to know that we're doing right. The only way we're going to be able to do that is by testing our works by the standard of his word. And that's really what we want to study about this morning, is our proving or testing our works, to see whether they are wrought in God, to see whether we really are his child or whether we are, in fact, a child of the devil. We don't want to be deceived about that and think we're a child of God if in reality we're not, because we will find out the truth of it in the end. Now, the same standard of God's word that we need to test our works by, according to John 3, ultimately we're going to all be judged by that same standard in the end. In John 12, verse 48, Jesus said this, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." So that is going to be the standard that's going to judge us at the end. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 refers to that day, speaks of that day of judgment that's coming for us all. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." So there's that ultimate test that's going to reveal us on that day when the judgment comes. But of course, that day then is too late to do anything about it. If we're not God's child, then we're going to be judged according to what we did and did not do in this life. If we did not come to that light of his word and prove or test our works and then make sure our works were wrought in God and doing his will, then on that day it's going to be too late. So when is the time that we really need to engage in that testing of our works, coming to the light of God's word, looking at ourselves in the mirror of his word and testing what we're doing to determine whether we are really doing the will of our Father in heaven by his Son, Jesus Christ? Of course, that time is now, that short time that we have on this earth. This is our opportunity to test or prove our work. Now, we do need to recognize that God is not only going to be giving us that ultimate judgment on judgment day. God is also judging us now, looking into our hearts, searching us and testing our works. So if God is going to be testing our works, it is to our benefit to be looking at the tests that he's giving to us and to our works in this life. And at the same time that we're going to be testing ourselves and our own works in those same situations, so that really there should be a merging of our testing of our works with God testing our works, so that we're seeing in ourselves what he's seeing of us, so that we can do something about whatever it is that we need to change to make right before him in this life while we have the opportunity to do so. So we want to spend our focus here in the next 20 minutes, 25 minutes perhaps, this little bit of time that's going quickly, to look at some of these ways or areas in which God is testing our works, to see these opportunities we have to test our works also. He's learning about us. He's searching us. We need to do the same with ourselves. If we turn to the book of Psalms in the Old Testament, Psalm 66, verses 10 through 12, the Lord talks about or speaks of one of these main areas of our life in which He is testing us in our works. Psalm 66, verses 10 through 12. For Thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but Thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Now this is talking about times of hardship and affliction, especially when it's for righteousness' sake, but we're going to be brought through hardship in our lives. That's going to be a time in which God, as we see, will be testing us. Are we willing to do the will of God even through suffering, even through affliction and hardship? And that's one reason why it's necessary that we have those times of hardship in our lives. This was something that God did with Israel in the wilderness after He brought them out of Egypt in Exodus chapter 15. That He did all those wonders with those 10 plagues and then the parting of the Red Sea, all of those miracles and wonders that He worked by His mighty hand and outstretched arm to deliver them from their bondage in Egypt. He brought them through all of that, brought them through the Red Sea, destroyed the Egyptians, and there they are in the wilderness, a dry place with no food or water. And did they consider that the same God who showed such power and such love for them to deliver them as He had, that same God, would He not have this love and the power to be able to sustain their lives in that wilderness? Well, they, that generation did not have faith in God, even though He had done all that He had for them. So as soon as they got into the wilderness and they reached a place where there was water, no water for them to drink, they murmured against God. Verse 23 of Exodus 15, we'll look at 23 to 26. Exodus 15, starting verse 23, says, when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So as he healed the waters, God was prepared to heal them, but he was testing them through these hardships. Were they willing to obey all of his commandments or not? Were they only willing to listen to God or follow God to a certain point? And there are people who are willing to follow God at certain points in their lives. But what about when we're under hardship, when we are under great temptation? Well, those are the opportunities where God is going to be searching us to see whether we're willing to listen to Him and obey Him even during affliction, or whether we're going to turn away from Him at such times. In Exodus chapter 16, the next chapter, verses 2 through 4, it says, the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Now, is that really what God had done? All those great miracles to bring them out of their bondage in Egypt so he could starve them in the wilderness. Did they really think that? But here's what they're saying. So he just gave them water by a miracle the chapter before, and now they are hungry, and so they're murmuring again. Had they learned anything yet? But here's what God says in verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. So we see over and over again through these hardships, the Lord was testing them. Were these people willing to listen to God and follow God and keep His commandments? Now, what did they show God over and over again through their hardships? They murmured, they complained, they turned against the Lord. They would not listen and serve Him. So this generation here that we're reading about over and over again as God was testing them. They weren't going to his light to test their own works, and they were revealed to be children of the devil. And this is why God destroyed them all in the wilderness. He put up with them for a long time, but they would not follow him. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, here Moses was speaking to the children of Israel and said, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee to know what was in thine heart and whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." Jesus quoted that in Matthew 4 when he was in the wilderness 40 days and hungry. And Jesus was under that test. The devil tempted him to turn stones to bread, which would have been a misuse of the miraculous power he'd just been given. And Jesus quoted this verse. He was not going to turn away from the Lord when he faced hardship. But that was a test for Christ. That was a test for these people. Of course, Christ passed the test, and we need to follow him so that we pass the same test. And we don't want to forget God and turn away from him when things are difficult in our lives. The same 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, if we go down to verse 11, he says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness wherein that were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant with which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day." So there the Lord is also warning us against when things are going very well in our lives, and how we will be tempted then to forget the Lord. So there can be a test of ourselves when things are going difficult and things are going very, very well in our lives. We have temptation from the devil at all sides there. And this is one reason why in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7 through 9, we have these verses about both of those extremes. Proverbs 30, verses 7 through 9, he says, "Two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." So there can be a temptation in any or all circumstances in our lives. The devil's going to be trying to turn us against God in all those circumstances. But we need to be prepared to serve the Lord, to test our works in all these circumstances, as the Lord is testing us in all these situations, to see that we're going to follow God no matter what happens in our lives. The book of Philippians in chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Here's what the New Testament says, teaches us about this. "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world." So again, isn't this going to reveal whether we are a child of God or whether we're part of this wicked world? And part of that's going to be, a big part of that's going to be whether we're going to murmur and complain and do these things during tough times. But also in chapter 4, we see the Apostle Paul referring to those times in which he both abounded and was abased. Either extreme, whether things were going well with him or things were going were very difficult for him. Either way, he learned to be content in whatever state he was in. He was going to continue to serve the Lord as he was testing his works during all of those times, as the Lord was, to make sure he was following God at all times. Philippians 4:10-13. "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." We need to be the same as Paul. And at all times, whether things are, whether we're being abased or whether we're abounding, whether things are going well or whether things are not, in all situations, we need to pass that test and make sure that our works are wrought in God so that we are content and serving Him, doing all things through Christ who strengthens us no matter what the circumstances. Now, another time in which the Lord's going to test our works is going to be by sending us false teachers. He's going to provide us tests in our lives over and over again. And in one way or another, this happens every day, where we're going to have presented to us a way other than God's way. And of course, we're always going to have the Lord's way and escape to find that right way presented to us by God. But we're going to be tested in this as different ones and our circumstances in life are going to be presenting us these alternatives, these other ways to do things other than the Lord's way. In fact, that's what the word heresy means. It's a choice other than God's right way to go in. This is what false doctrine is all about, and it's brought upon us through the world, and of course even those that come into the body of Christ with these different ways to encourage us to walk in that are not God's ways. And the Lord is going to be testing us at those times. We also need to be testing our own works at those times to make sure that we're following God's way no matter what anybody says at any moment in time. Let's turn to Judges chapter 2. And this was the next generation of Israel and the one that followed them after the ones that we were reading about a while ago, those ones that murmured in the wilderness. Well, their children did enter the land of Canaan and conquered it, but they also did not do a good job as a whole in driving out all the inhabitants of the land of Canaan from their territory. And the Lord was displeased with them for not obeying that commandment. In Judges chapter 2, verse 20, it says, "The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, Because that this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua." So God left the remnant of these Canaanites, and it was a test for them, because these people that were left among them were following wickedness. And so right there now in their midst, they would have that test. They were going to be seeing these people in the wicked way that they live. Would they follow after their ways, or would they continue to follow the Lord's ways? That was their test. As we continue into chapter 3, he says, "Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan, only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof, namely five lords of the Philistines, and all the Canaanites, and the Sidonians, and the Hivites that dwelt in Mount Lebanon, and from Mount Baal Hermon unto the entering in of Hamath. And they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, and Amorites, and Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives, and they gave their daughters to their sons, and served their gods." So there was their test, and what happened? The Lord was testing them by these people, and they failed the test too. They went after the ways of these people around them. They went after the ways of the world. The world was all about them. As the world is all around us, we're in it. We're not to be of it, but we're in it, and we're being tempted by the devil to be of the world while we're in the world. The Lord is presenting us that test to see whether we are going to follow Him and come out from this world and be separate for Him and be holy, or whether we're going to be a part of this world and choose the ways of wickedness. So we're under that same test. We don't want to be like those Israelites there that failed that particular test. In chapter 2 of Judges, in verse 7, tells us the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. These were the children of that wicked generation that came out of Egypt. So their fathers had erred. They did follow God, this next generation, which was good. But what about their children? Well, that's the ones that we're reading about here in Judges chapter 2, 10 through 12. It says, "Also all that generation were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Baalim, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves to them and provoked the Lord to anger." And that's what we were reading about also there in chapter 3 a moment ago. So these were this was the next generation, but it tells us two major things about them. Number one, they were ignorant of God and His ways. They didn't know God's Word like they needed to keep them in the right way. And then number two, they learned the ways of the world instead and followed those ways. So there was also that particular error committed by their parents in not grounding them in the Word of God and also allowing them to be exposed to the evil influences of the world and the way that they were. And they chose the wrong way. They weren't equipped to follow God like they should, and they were pulled off into the world. Very sad to read about that. But God had warned them and had taught them what to do to prevent this. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, it says, "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." We need to test our own works. We can also help our children to be prepared to test theirs by teaching them the Word of God like they should, so they'll know the standard to test their works by, the same standard that God's going to be testing them by. Well, we need to teach them those things so they're prepared for that. Of course, we need to know those things ourselves so we can test our own works by what God has taught. And so God then also in chapter 13 of the same book of Deuteronomy told them they were going to have false teachers as a test, whether they would follow those ways, the words that God had taught them, that he told them to teach their children, or whether they would go some other way. Deuteronomy 13, 1-5. "If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign of the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in, so shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee." But notice he says, God is giving you a test. He proves you, tests you, to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart or with all your soul. As these ones would come and give them an alternative, a choice to go after another way. So there was their test. Now, how were they going to respond to that test? We see that many of them failed the test because they didn't know God's word like they needed to, and instead they followed after the ways of the world. Well, we're going to have the same test, and we need to be ready to pass that test. And so we need to be testing our own works in these situations that we confront every day. Are we going to follow the ways of the world here? Are we going to follow the wisdom of men? Are we going to follow false ways, wicked ways, or God's way? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 19. As the Lord tells us, we're going to have these same tests today that they had back then, what we were reading about in Deuteronomy. 1 Corinthians 11, 19, he says, "For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you." That word heresy, again, is the word choice. There's got to be those choices, God's way or some other way. And that's what's going to reveal who is approved by God. And, of course, the ones that are approved by God are the ones that know His ways and follow them under all these situations. That's what's going to reveal who's a child of God versus who's a child of the devil. And so here we're going to be given those tests. We have to have those tests. How are we going to respond? Sadly, many of God's people choose the wrong path, just like they did as we're reading in Judges. Same thing still happening today, and he said that would happen in 2 Peter chapter 2, 1 through 3. "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." But he says we're going to have these same tests that they did back then by false teachers being among us. They're not all out there in the world. They're going to come in among us so that we'll have the same test. Are we going to follow God's way and His way only? Or are we going to go some other way? Again, he uses that word heresy. Are we going to follow another choice? Of course, there's only one right choice, and that's God's way. But what does he say happens to many? Many, he says, follow the pernicious ways of these ones who bring in the damnable heresies, these condemnable choices, these ways that aren't God's ways. We don't want to be like those many that follow the wrong way, that fail the test. We need to over and over again test our own works according to what God has taught and make sure we're not going after what somebody else is encouraging us to do that isn't right. We need to do what he tells us in Ephesians 4, verses 13 through 15, if we can turn over there and read that. Ephesians 4, 13 to 15. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what we're striving for. That's what we need to be testing ourselves by, to make sure we're striving for to reach that measure, that of the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, to be the complete man. To grow and to become complete, of course, means we can't be spiritual babies anymore. Verse 14 says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So there we have again that choice. Are we going to follow Christ and grow up in him in all things to the measure of the stature of his fullness unto completion? Or are we going to remain spiritual babies and be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine? That will be failing the test. So we need to be growing in Christ and testing ourselves by the measure of His standard to make sure that we are walking in the steps of Christ and growing as we should and not being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. This requires self-examination and a lot of it. God is examining us. Again, back to the book of Psalms in 26, verses 1 and 2, Psalms 26, 1 and 2. It says, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Well, God will be doing that. And while He's doing that, we need to be doing the same with ourselves, testing ourselves to make sure that we are doing what's right before Him. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, at the conclusion of that chapter that we all know is the chapter on love, the Apostle Paul had a goal that he wanted to know himself the way that God knew him. And this is, as God is searching us, testing us, we need to be doing the same. We need to see what He sees in us so that we can make sure that we are following what is right before Him. 1 Corinthians 13:11-12, he says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Do we want to know even as we are also known? Do we want to see what God sees in us? Well, he's speaking about the revelation of God's word, and that would be the key or the means by which he would be able to know himself fully like God does. But there again, it's requiring that testing of our works by the standard of God's word to look and to see so that we can make sure that we're seeing what God sees in us, because we want to make sure that what we're doing is right before him in all things. We need to avoid what he warns us about in Proverbs 21:2, where he says every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. See, God ponders, he's testing our hearts. He knows the truth about us. For us to deceive ourselves and convince ourselves or lie to ourselves that what we're doing is right when it's not, it's not going to help us. God knows the truth about us, and we need to see what he does see so we can do something about it while we have that opportunity. He talks about this also in the book of Galatians in chapter 6, verses 3 through 5, where he's telling us to test our works. Galatians 6, 3 through 5. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. That's telling us about what's going to happen at the end. We're all going to be bearing our own burden. We're all going to be judged according to our own works, not somebody else's. So right now we need to be, as he says, proving our own work, testing our own work to make sure that it's right before God. We're going to conclude in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, where he gives this commandment to us to examine and test, prove ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. We have that commandment, particularly when we partake of the Lord's Supper. We could look at 1 Corinthians 11:28 to 32, where he specifically commands us to examine ourselves in eating that bread and drinking that cup, which we had the opportunity to do just a little while ago. But this is something we need to engage in every day, examining ourselves and testing ourselves to see whether we're in the faith, to see whether we really are revealed to be a child of God. Because if we're not, in the end, we're going to be facing the judgment and not be ready for it. So right now, let's test our own works by the standard of God's Word in all these situations in our lives as God is testing us to make sure that we are doing what is right in His sight, following all of His commandments always. If you have not yet begun to do that, if you're not yet a Christian, this morning we're encouraging you to repent of your sins and to confess your faith in Christ before men, that you believe that He is the Son of God, which He is, so that you can be baptized in Him for the remission of your sins. If you're ready to do that, we're encouraging you to come forward at this time and obey the gospel of Christ. If you are a Christian, if you need to repent of sin, if you need to return to walking in the light so that you are prepared for that day of judgment that's coming, you have that opportunity to make things right again with the Lord at this time. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation now, please won't you do so while we stand and sing.